7:15 on a rainy Friday morning, November 1st. And I would like to open the Oakland Heart Jeweler talk and text line here. You can call in if you like at 504-260-1870, or you could text in at 504-260-1870. I wouldn't like a campaign speech for either candidate, but what I would like to ask you is, what advice would you give to a voter as it relates to the election on Tuesday about how to pick a candidate? And what I mean by that is not the qualities of Trump or the qualities of Harris or the perceived faults of Trump or the perceived faults of Harris, or real or perceived, however you want to phrase this. But what would you look for in a president? Because I was thinking about this the other day. And I think when people go into the booth, you got to vote for a couple of different things. I think the first thing is, and no matter how I say this, you're going to hear it negatively. You're not going to think that I'm talking about your person. You're going to think I'm talking against your person. And in fact, I'm not talking about either. I'm just saying, in general, what do you look for in a presidential candidate? Does character matter? I think the first thing, whether it's Harris or Trump, that you need to look for is when they tell you or somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Because Trump is not going to change. Harris is not going to change when they get in the White House. They are who they are. And it's not as though you got somebody that showed up from somewhere and you don't know exactly who they are, because I know, you know, they said that Harris had introduced herself to the voters, but she's been vice president for 4 years. So I think everybody pretty well knows. I don't know how, if you're a Trump supporter, you can say you don't know who Harris is, but then you can run her down like you do. Or if you're a Harris supporter, you can say you don't know who Trump is, and then you can run him down, because apparently you do have a feel for who they are. So I guess the first thing I would say is, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And don't think that just because they get elected that they're going to change, whether it's Harris or whether it's Trump or whether it's anybody else. The other thing I think you would look for is, who would you trust to run your personal finances? Who would you give access to your 401k, to your checking account, to your day-to-day finances, take financial advice from, etc.? Who would you trust to babysit your kids if you were out of town? Or maybe to be the guardian of your kids if you die? Because if you think about it, that's kind of what's going to happen here. And I saw somebody doing a piece the other day where it's a shame that the people that are in power are older. I don't care if you're 50, 60, 70, and they're making policies that they're not going to really have to deal with, because they'll be dead and gone, and it's the people behind them that will have to deal with the policies. That, of course, is offset by the fact that maybe somebody that's 25 or 30 thinks they know, but they really don't know how the world works. So where does that factor in? Would you vote for somebody that you wouldn't trust to be the guardian of your kids if you were to die? Because it's basically what's going to happen. Presuming everything works as it's supposed to work and the parents die before the children, then the country is going to be left for them. And the people that are in the White House, along with the people that are in the Senate and the House, are going to have a lot to do with what the country looks like. So in essence, they are going to be the guardians of your children in the future, right? So does that enter into it? Does character enter into it? Do you think somebody can do this or that in their past life, either way, and then that doesn't really matter when it comes to running the country or being the role model for the country? And should the president be the role model for the country, or should the president just be the CEO, the CAO, the person that's in charge of the business decisions protecting the country, etc.? I think the other thing is, who is it that can best represent the country? When you're talking to foreign dignitaries, because a lot of this does come down to personal. You know, it's the president of this and the prime minister of that, but when you get right down to it, it's Fred and it's Alice, right? I mean, when they talk to each other, you would think. So who is it that's best able to represent the country? Who is it that's best able to negotiate for the country, to stand strong for the country, to make sure that the other countries know that if they do this, then that's going to happen? To not just maybe be a blunt force object, but also be able to be an iron fist in a velvet glove, as they say, right? So I just want to know, when it comes to choosing a presidential candidate, does any of that enter into your mind at all? Or do you automatically fall into red or blue, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, or just the personalities involved? Never Trump, never Harris. Give me a call or text me, 504-260-1870. I'd like to know. 721 traffic now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. Talk about Governor Landry's tax plan and tax reformation. Well, I guess reformation would be a good way to put it. Sounds like a Protestant reformation. It's not that serious. Daniel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I was talking to Richard Nelson yesterday, and we've been talking about this all week. Special session's going to start next week. Man, I don't know how you get people to understand everything that's going on. Do you have an easy way to explain this or to explain people why what the governor's trying to do is in their best interest?
Yeah, let me take a crack at it. So first, let's say, try to define the problem. The problem is a tax code that's too complicated, that's Byzantine, really. It's outdated. And so what happens is it drives jobs and ultimately our friends, neighbors, and kids and grandkids to other states. So the solution that's being presented is something that is trying to flatten taxes, make them fairer, broader based, and easier to understand and comply with, and ultimately phase out the personal income tax, making us more competitive with the states around us so that we can become the powerhouse of opportunity and economic growth that really we ought to be given our state's assets.
What still needs to be worked out, Daniel? Because you said fairer, and let's face it, not everything's always going to be perfectly fair or advantageous to everybody. That's not the way life works,
sure,
right? It just can't be. But what you have to do is try to think, I guess this is all about balancing the best interest of everybody in the state, the business interest, the personal interest, et cetera, and hoping that you wind up with a system that's more workable and advantageous for the majority of people.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you try to maximize the winners and minimize the losers. And that's where you get, when we talk about fair, what good, fair, what we would call fair tax policy is everyone has some stake in the game, right? If there, that means fewer special treatments, ideally no special treatments. Everyone is on the same playing field and everyone pays the same. So that's why we prefer things like a flat tax. This is while we're in the process of phasing out the personal income tax, instead of having three or four different brackets, we have one flat tax. Everybody pays the same. Same thing on the corporate side. You know, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. We've 432 pages of special tax preferences in the corporate tax code. And, you know, if you have one group or one company or one industry paying less over here, that means somebody else has to pay more in order to raise the same amount of revenue to pay for government. So this is about trying to even the playing field. And yes, you know, that there's because of the complexity of the system, there's likely to be some losers in the process while we get this worked out. But by and large, every taxpayer, every individual taxpayer would get a tax cut under this plan, and it gets the process going to really get to something that will drive economic growth.
Daniel, thank you for helping us understand that. I know we'll talk to you more as the special session begins and proceeds, and there's going to be some tweaks and some changes here or there. Complicated
for
stuff.
Sure.
Thanks for trying to help us understand it.
Anytime.
Have a great weekend.
Me.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back. We're going to help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, as we always do. Right now, 7:30 on a button. Time for WWL First News.